Well, I think there's a little bit of lack of recognition that goes on today to those that should be recognized. We seem to recognize people for a lot of dumb stuff. Maybe social media helps with that or hurts with that, however you want to put that. But people get a lot of recognition for a lot of things, but I think it's important that we understand what is important and what we should recognize and pass that on to our children and those that are younger to understand that recognition. And so I remember we back in the hometown where I grew up in Pennsylvania, we have some fellow people here from Pennsylvania as well. Yeah, I see you back there. It's good to meet them. But we had a festival in our hometown. We had a big parade for a small town. It was a very big parade. And I remember my grandfather, as different groups would come by, whether it was marching bands or it was military groups or those remembering military groups and whatever it was, every time that the colors would go by, he would stand up. He would stand up and clap. I remember not fully understanding that when I was young, but as I get older, understanding the idea of just having some respect and some reverence for things. And I think it is important that we take the time today. I know if I asked a lot of the men and women if they wanted to come up here and be publicly recognized on the platform, they say, no, thank you. That's why I don't ask. It's the safest way is just bully them up here. Just get up here. But so that we can do that, and I appreciate you doing that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1 this morning, we'll read the first four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, Thou therefore, my son, and by son he means son in the Lord, he says that in 1 Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to preach this morning on to be a soldier, to be a soldier. Let's go ahead and pray this morning and ask the Lord's blessing before the message. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity today to be able to recognize those that have served or are serving. Lord, you know there are others, parts of our church that are not here today, Lord, and they are also in the military. And Lord, maybe others that couldn't be here who had served previously. Lord, pray that you bless them. Lord, thank you again for giving them the health and the mindset and the willingness to go and serve for our country. And Lord, today we ask that you would, our minds would be on that, but also our minds would be on our lives as Christians for those that did serve in the military or not. Lord, those that are saved and born again, those that are serving and trying to be a soldier for you, and understanding what you want of us. Lord, I pray that you would have our minds be stayed on that as well. And Lord, we think about our own lives and we make practical application as Christians. Thank you again for all that you do for us. Lord, we ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people, that you would be lifted up in the eyes of everyone here and everyone that can hear my voice. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was never in the military. My father was in the military. He was in the Navy. And both of my grandfathers served in the military as well. I never served, but I do have great respect for those that have and those that are serving. And it's a good idea every once in a while when you're out and about and you're busy and you're running around, you see somebody in uniform, you see somebody with a hat on, a veteran's hat or something, just to walk up and say, hey, thank you for your service. It's good to do that. It's good to recognize that and let them know that we're not against them, we're for them. Listen, sometimes we can let the political spectrum skew our mindset of what should be important regardless of politics. And we can show honor regardless of politics. I know that might not be a favorite thing nowadays, but we can do it. We can do it. We can overcome and we can do it. But my father and both grandfathers served in the military. My dad was in the Navy. Hence, I was born in Spain. I was born and rode to Spain then lived in California, all before I have any memories, right? All this happened before I have any memories. My first memories were when my parents had moved to Florida, and my first memories are of Pensacola, Florida, there. But my dad got out of the Navy soon after I was born, and I've only heard stories about his time of service. I wasn't a military brat, you know, brought all over the place. I didn't have that life, but I only heard of his stories of his time in the service in Spain and in Antarctica and some other things where he had been. My parents got saved the year I was born in 1978. And about that time when my dad was getting out of the Navy, I remember them, my mom and my dad, enlisting for duty as soldiers in the Lord's Army. In the Lord's Army. And listen, there are some requirements to serve in the U.S. military. There are some requirements. You have to be a citizen or a permanent resident of the United States to serve in the military. There's age restrictions. There's physical requirements. You have to have a diploma of some sort to be able to get into the military. I know all those kind of have shifted over the years, right? You hear stories, well, I lied about my age so that I could get into the military. I could do these different things. But there are certain requirements that they try to keep for the military. And when you volunteer to enlist or prepare to go into the service, you're making a commitment. That's what it is. I understand that the draft was special circumstances. But in general, you voluntarily enlist. You make preparations if you go a different route, ROTC, and go different routes to get in the military. But you make these preparations, and with that comes a commitment to serve for a certain number of years and a certain number of things and things you have to do. In the Lord's military, you need heavenly citizenship. That's what you need in the Lord's military. Your earthly home here doesn't matter. Where you live, where you're from, your age doesn't matter. Your health doesn't matter, nor does your education matter. But when you, to be in the Lord's military, you need a heavenly citizenship. And to have heavenly citizenship, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. The term Christian can be thrown around pretty lightly. Nowadays, everybody just takes the term Christian if they don't know what else to take. If they don't know what other term to take and they want to be religious or feel religious, they just say, I'm a Christian. But the real definition of a Christian is a follower of Christ. And a follower of Christ is someone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It should be. Should be. That should be the very first, most important thing in claiming the name of Christ is realizing what Jesus Christ did for you and I, for all of us. Whether we make the claim of being saved and born again or not, Jesus Christ died for the sin of the world. He died for sinners, and we all qualify as sinners. We all qualify for that. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. And I'm glad that he did. Amen. I'm glad that he did. This thing of salvation is not just a maybe so or a hope so or tied to a certain religion or it's not tied to any of that. It's tied to a decision of what we will do individually with Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll either receive what he did on the cross of Calvary or we'll go some other route. To get to some other destination. And so salvation is important in the understanding of what Christ did for us, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Why he did it was for our sin. And why the love of God is extended to us is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that you and I can bow our hearts and our head and our pride and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us as salvation to give us peace with God. Amen. That's what it means. It gives us peace with God because without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ, we're not at peace with God. We're not children of God. We're at odds with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Our sin separates us from the perfection and the holiness of God Almighty. And we need Jesus Christ and what he did for us to take our place, to be our sacrifice, that he laid his life down for us to have access to heaven. Amen. Without access to heaven, the Bible says that we can pay for our own sin in a place that God created for the devil and his angels, a place called hell. I remember knocking on a door one time in New York, just going to visit some people, and it was myself, and it was a man that had served in Vietnam, and it was my turn. We usually took turns, and it was my turn. I knocked on the door, and a gentleman comes to the door, and I said, hi. I said, I'm Mike, and this is Greg, and we're from Chi Lai Bible Baptist Church. I said, we just have a ministry to go out and to greet people in the neighborhood, let you know there's a church that cares about you, and let you know that we're concerned about your soul. And I said, do you have a home church? Do you have somewhere that you go to? And he says, oh, I don't do that. He says, I've already been to hell. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not quite following. What do you mean by that? And he said, I served in Vietnam. And he's like, I was already in hell. And I look at Brother Greg Rakowski, who stood about 6'4". You know, he looked like my bodyguard, you know. 6'4", white hair, white mustache, and I just... He was of the same generation. He was of the same speak, the same talk. And he said, sir, I was also in Vietnam. And he said, thank you for your service. But that place was not the hell of the Bible. That's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And they had a heart-to-heart just about the Lord. I understand there's a lot of ideas of things that go on, but listen, salvation is the most important thing that you and I could decide today. Amen. Is where are we going to spend eternity? What the things going on in this life, the experiences we have in this life, the places that we've come from in this life, the way we were raised and the way we grew up and the things that were told to us, all of that is secondary to where are we going to spend eternity. Amen. The life that we live in this life and the years that God gives us that we can breathe and live out dreams and live in this life, all of those things, all of those years combined means nothing compared to an eternity where our soul will spend forever. Amen. And so accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, his offer of salvation is free to everyone to accept him by faith. Right. And that's the most important decision we could ever make. And in order to be in the Lord's military, in order to serve the Lord as a Christian, we need to be saved. We need to have a heavenly citizenship that is taken care of for us. That's what the Lord says. The Lord says when you get saved, that your eternal destination is secured in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. His place is secure. Our place in Christ through faith is secure in heaven as our home, according to the Word of God. Not according to religion, not according to a Baptist, not according to a guy standing up here in a suit and a patriotic tie. All right? Not according to that, according to the Scriptures of what God says in his Word, we can know for sure where we're going to spend eternity. Amen. That's the blessing of the Scripture. That's the blessing of our faith in Jesus Christ and his work that was completed, not in our own works, which sometimes can be up and down. Not in how well we're pleasing the Lord today, but what he has already done for us. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And our to serve the Lord, our citizenship must be secure heavenly. Listen, many Christians, they get saved and they meet the requirements to be in the Lord's military, but they never enlist. They never sign up to be a soldier. They just say, thank you for salvation, I'll take it from here. And that's not what you and I should strive to be. That's not what Paul told Timothy, and it's not what he strived for him to be. Listen, most soldiers that serve in the U.S. military, they have a little bit of an edge to them. Not all, most, some, a little bit of grit. And I don't mean like 2,000 grit sandpaper. I mean like, you know, 150 somewhere in there. Or if your brother Greg Rakowski that was with me, he's more like 60 grain, you know. Everything he does is pretty down here on the level. You rub shoulders with Brother Rakowski long enough, you know it. Like, wow, all right, Brother Rakowski, can you be nice to me a little bit? Listen, most soldiers have some character. And it might have been developed by the U.S. military. But have some character to them. Have some backbone that you can recognize in a daily life. The military, what happens? You have training, and that training, what's it do? It breaks you down, whatever you thought you were when you went into the military. That breaks you down so that they can build you back up. Build you up to be purposeful for them, to be profitable unto what they're trying to do, to benefit the goal. Right? That's what the military does. The military breaks you down so that it can build you up so that you're profitable for their end goal. Right? And for what they're trying to accomplish and for the mission and to be able to follow orders. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of ideas in the military. And then once they sign up and they end up there and they start getting told what to do and yelled at, you know, it's like the young man that said, I'd said this before, it's like the young man that said, I'm so tired of my dad telling me what to do, I'm going to go join the military. What's the joke? They're going to tell you a lot more what to do. They're going to tell you a lot more what to do. But that idea is to, you know, my father tells the story of joining the military, and he said he went in there, they get their stuff, and one of the first things they do, they get in there and say, all right, here's how you're going to tie your shoes. You're going to take the right lace and put it over the left lace. And he said, and then you got to come show us that you did it. Both shoes. My dad's like, okay. Right lace over the left lace. All right, so put the left in first. Bring the right over the top. Okay, repeat, right? He said, my dad's working on his shoes, and these guys are going up there. And the guy's like, that's not how you do it. Get out and give me push-ups. And my dad said, I'm standing in line going, right over and left, right over and left, right over and left, right over and left, right over and left. You know, he said, you're good, go through. He said, it was just the idea that, man, we better follow some orders. We better do what we're told. It's going to be better off for us if we do. Listen, the commander in chief of the U.S. forces is the president of the United States. His orders are given through officers and they're expected to be followed. We don't get to choose who's in charge. When you sign up for the military. And in the military, we saw it in the video, camaraderie, friendship, love. What is that? That's built through unity of hardships. Amen. It's built through unity of suffering. It's built through unity of difficulty. It's built through often young people being taken out of their homes, some for the first times, and ending up in a place where it's a strange place and strange people, and you're away from everybody that you knew, and you just start, all right, we're going through this together. And what happens? There's relationships that are bonded through that. Sometimes lifelong relationships that are bonded through that unity, through those situations. And listen, we can debate or have differences of opinion over politics behind using our country's military. But the reason why some of that can go wrong is because, well, men are involved. Mankind is involved. Right? And often when mankind gets involved, we don't always do the right thing. We don't always follow the word of God completely. We don't always follow righteousness and holiness. And so we can debate about wars and why they were fought and what's happening and occupying different places. And people can have different opinions about that. But listen, when you enlist as a soldier for the Lord, the captain of our salvation, that's what he's called, the Lord, he's perfect in every command. Amen. And he's perfect in every decision. And so we might still want to debate some things that the Lord allows to happen in our lives, but he's right in what he does. He's right in what he does, and he's right, and he's holy, and he's perfect in what he does. And so I want to spend the next few moments here this morning. I want to talk about what does it mean to be a soldier of the Lord. There are many parallels that we could take from the military and being a military soldier and liken those. But I want to kind of stick to the Timothy here. Paul's speaking to this young man. I want to stay around this area here. And what does it mean to be a soldier of the Lord? What does it mean to enlist in the Lord's service? I keep wanting to say the Lord's army because of the kids' song. Is everybody else with me? Anybody else? Like, every time I go to say it, I'm like, it's the Lord's army. Well, maybe not. There might be other branches that the Lord has going on. All right, but that song, Learning from a Child, that I should have all these kids in here, second row, get up here and sing it, but I'm not going to. Maybe at the end. No, I'm just kidding. We have someone doing the motions, but I won't point her out in the very back, hiding. All right, but 2 Timothy chapter number 2 here, in verse number 1, let's read it again just to get our context again here. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? "That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I like to say this firstly about being a soldier of the Lord is that there's an active battle going on. There's an active battle going on. That's why the Lord's looking for soldiers. Because there's an active battle that's happening. And this active battle, in verse number 4, it says, "No man that warreth." No man that warreth. All right, there's a battle that's going on. Now look, we're going to stick pretty much here in Timothy, but look, turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now Paul here has some years on him, and Paul has been on his missionary journeys. He started off north of Israel and has gone through what they would call Asia Minor, that's Turkey today, and has gone up and around and down through Greece, and he's traveled back and forth through these areas by boat and by foot and by other means of transportation. He's went all around through this area. He's made a couple of trips to and from different cities and visiting the same cities. And Timothy is someone that he led to the Lord. Timothy is someone who was raised with a mother and a grandmother who served the Lord and who taught him about faith. But he had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul came through preaching the gospel and Timothy got saved. And Timothy, when he got saved, he said, "I want to follow the Lord. I want to serve the Lord." And Timothy might not have understood exactly what was going on in the early days. And so Paul, when he's writing these letters to Timothy, Timothy now is overseeing a group of Christians in Ephesus. And he's overseeing them. And Paul's writing back to Timothy. And Paul's telling Timothy about what it's going to be like to serve the Lord, what it's going to be like to serve, sometimes very specifically in Timothy's case. But there are many things that we can learn about serving the Lord that Paul wrote to Timothy. And so what he says in chapter 1 and verse number 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war..." There's that fighting. "War a good warfare." Amen. War a good warfare. You know what Paul tells Timothy? He says, this war, this fight, this warfare, this battle that you're going to be in, that you're entering into, that he's actively already in, this war, this battle, it's a good warfare. Amen. It's a good warfare. Look what he says in chapter 6, 1 Timothy, same book, chapter 6. Look in verse number 12. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Yeah. Well, what kind of fight is it? It's a good fight. Yeah. It's a good fight, and it's a fight of faith. He says, lay hold on eternal life. That doesn't mean to gain it. It means grab a hold of it. Understand it. Do something with it. Lay hold of it. Like you might have to occasionally lay hold of a child. Right? You got to grip them a little bit so that you can get them to understand what's going on. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. In the same verse, in verse 12, it says, whereunto thou art also called. It's a good fight. And someone that enlists as a soldier and says, I want to serve the Lord and I want to be a soldier of the Lord. I want to make a difference for the Lord. I want the Lord to change my life and lead my life and direct my life. Anyone that who enlists in this battle as a Christian, you're called unto it. You're called unto it. The Lord's calling all of those that are saved to enlist in the fight. Why? Because we're outnumbered. Yeah. We're outnumbered. Those that are standing for Christ, standing for what's right, standing for righteousness and truth, we're outnumbered by those that are standing for something else. And the Lord's looking for opportunities. I told you before, He's not willing that any should perish. And so what's He looking for? He's looking for some soldiers that are willing to go out and say, the Bible says, or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's looking for someone to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's looking for soldiers. He's looking for soldiers to fight the good fight of faith. It called unto it. Look what else He says. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. It's a good profession. You profess something. You profess to know something. Well, if you profess to know it, I hope you do. You profess to know something about Christ, I hope you know Him. I hope you know Him. And there can you have a chance to profess Christ in front of many. You have lots of opportunities. There's lots of people around that you have a chance to profess Christ and say, I know Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it's a good profession. Not only are you called unto it, not only is it a good fight, it's a good warfare, it's a good profession. Amen. Say, what is there? I don't know what there is to talk about. We can talk about the Lord. Yeah, I don't know. People don't want to hear about the Lord. That's all right. That's okay. Why? You're not doing it to get underneath somebody's skin or to make somebody annoyed or to set yourself apart as somebody different. No, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is a saving message. It changes lives. Not only does the gospel and following the Lord Jesus Christ, not only does it change your eternal destination, which is hard to wrap our mind around sometimes, because we're so inundated in this life. To think of future things, to think of an eternity, that's hard sometimes. But how many of you could raise a hand this morning and would be willing to raise a hand to say, not only did I get saved, did God change my life, but my life is different. The life I live is different because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at salvation. Yeah, He changes lives. He changes lives. Listen, if we didn't have to be so careful about kind of bragging about sin, we could stand up here and say, hey, I once was this. And now, by the grace of God, I'm not. That's a blessed testimony. That the Lord Jesus Christ changed the life we live. We don't have to live in those fears. And we don't have to live with the addictions. And we don't have to live with the sorrow and the weight of sin on our shoulders. And we don't have to live to our own and by ourselves and often for somebody else. Man, we can live for the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He wants what's best and He wants us to follow. And it can change our lives. My wife and I were having discussions about if when we were 17 and 18, and what if we just stayed on that path? Just kind of living for self, floating along, as our testimony, unfortunately, in our teenage years, but just kind of floating around. And what if we just stayed on that path? Man, I don't know what my life would be. You can't even predict it. You can't predict it. You can't predict what your life would be because you think, I'd never do that. Boy, sin digs a deep hole sometimes. Sin digs a deep hole, and you find yourself looking around, you can't get out sometimes. feels that way, except for the grace and mercy of God. But there's an active battle going on. It's a good warfare. It's a good fight. We're called to it. It's a good profession. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look in verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." He says, hold fast that faith that is in Christ. Hold fast that good thing. So he tells him, he says, that's a good thing. This faith that we glean and gather from the scriptures, the faith, right? We put our faith, we have a faith that we put in Jesus Christ. It's our faith that we put in Jesus Christ. But the faith is the doctrine of the Word of God and the scriptures of the Word of God. The faith is what we live in, should be living for. It's the faith of the Word of God. And he says, hey, this is a good thing. Paul says, this is a good thing. Why? Because there is an active battle going on. And this active battle has already been declared. It's against the world, it's against the flesh, and it's against the devil. It's against the world, the flesh, and what do you mean by the world? The world system. If you haven't noticed, the world as a system is anti-God. Anti-Christ, anti-Jesus Christ, and anti-Bible. If you can't see that, you're not paying attention. Or you don't know enough of the difference. Sometimes Christians just say, oh, I don't know, everything seems to be great. Well, maybe you need to spend a little more time in here. Because this is against almost everything that's going on out there. And so it is active. It's against the world and the world system. It's against the flesh. What? Well, that gets a little personal now. Now I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the people we look in the mirror. And we look in the mirror and if we understand some of the Word of God and if we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us to lead us and guide us. And we start to find out that, man, God wants this and I want this. God wants this and I want this. It's rarely, you know, it's usually like this. As opposite as you can get. The Lord desires this for me and I desire this other thing. The Lord says I should stay away from this thing, and I really want that. It's against the flesh, and it's against the devil. The devil's not just a Halloween decoration that people that don't know any better put up in their yards. It's not. He's not that. He's not a little cartoon figure with little pointy ears and a tail that comes out, you know, with like an arrow on the end of it. He, you know, carries a pitchfork and sits on our shoulder and whispers funny things to Tom and Jerry, you know. That's not the devil. The Bible likens the devil to a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And our this fight, this warfare is against the devil. It's all of those things are against what God stands for. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen. Listen, if you join the U.S. military, you better figure out how to use some weapons. Because those are carnal. It's a carnal warfare. What is it? It's person versus person. And you better figure out whatever you're given to defend yourself or to actively use against an enemy, you better figure out how to handle that and how to use that. And to the best of your ability, be able to use that. Because if the day comes when you have to, you better know what you're doing. The Bible says as Christians, listen, our warfare is not, our weapons are not carnal. You know what we don't do as followers of Jesus Christ? Say, follow Jesus Christ or we cut your head off. That's not what we do. Why? It's not Bible. We're not trying to advance some type of military kingdom for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to advance a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is people get saved and born again, and now they can follow the Lord as well. It's, our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God. They're spiritual. This battle is eternal. Amen. If you're gonna enlist in the Lord's army to be a soldier, I did it. If you're gonna enlist in the Lord's military, all right, to fight for Him, you better be ready. Right. You better be ready. You better be ready to go out there and to think of things. If you're going to be in the Lord's military, you better be able to get your mind off the world and think about eternal things, because that's what matters. Amen. That's what matters. Those eternal things matter. Listen, the battle's for souls. The battle's for homes and families. Why? Because the world wants to rip it apart. The battle is to please the Lord. Amen. Above self and above others and above our own flesh. It's about bringing glory to God. Amen. Who is certainly worthy of it and certainly deserving of it. These are things that are involved in this active battle that's going on. I'd like to say this secondly. What does it mean to be a soldier of the Lord? Well, it means, according to Timothy here, that there are snares to be avoided. There are snares to be avoided. So where do you get this idea? 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 4 again. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Entangleth himself. To get snared in something, to get entangled, to get caught up in something to the point where someone can't war because they're caught up in a snare or an entanglement. And the Bible says, entangleth himself. So some of these snares and some of this entanglement is not us being tricked. We're being caught up in our own doing so that we can't be the soldiers and we can't war the warfare that we're supposed to, because we're entangled up, we're caught up in some snares that have been laid for us, and we've walked right into them. We've walked right into them. It makes us useless for the fight of the Lord. That's what it means. We're entangled up. We're tied up. We're ensnared in something. It doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do us any good. You know, the old snare, the old timers would set a snare with some rope and some sticks and different things, and they'd put it right across the path where the rabbits would go. And they'd set a snare to do what? Catch a rabbit. And when you caught a rabbit, it wasn't good for the rabbit. Right? But what was it? They were snared. And what happens? There's some snares that get set for us, and if we're not walking after the Lord and we're not paying attention, we're not fighting the fight that's very active every day, if we're not doing what we should do, we're going to get caught up. We're going to get entangled. There are snares to avoid. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." There's a preparation for us. There's something that we can do to be used of the Lord, and we can set ourselves up to be a soldier that's ready to fight for the Lord, fight the good fight, and have the good warfare, and to have a good profession. We can prepare ourselves for that. Or we can ensnare ourselves, entrap ourselves, and then we're a vessel of dishonor unto the Lord. He can't use us in the battle. We're not ready. We're not prepared. We've been entrapped. We've been ensnared. And there are snares to avoid. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, here's the word, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a what? Snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." All right, now this, When Paul talks to, he talks to two different groups here in Timothy. He talks to them about their money. All right, he talks to one group that they will to be rich. They want to be rich. They desire it. It's their only goal. And he says, it's going to be a snare to you. But then he talks later in the chapter to those that are rich. And he says, hey, if you are rich, make sure that you pay attention and use those things for the Lord. Be ready to distribute a bunch of different things. The Bible talks to them. So it doesn't. The Bible doesn't say that you can't have money. It says if you do have money, you have to look out for these things. But if the only thing that you want is money, there's other snares for you too. That's what it says. Some people get snared all the way to having money, and then once they have money, they fall into different snares, different entrapments. And you know what we can be entrapped with and snared with and get our minds off of the Lord and the good fight? Money. Amen. Money. We all want it. It needs more to make the world go round now than ever before. The money that we used to have, it doesn't feel like the same amount of money that we used to have. The dollar doesn't go as far, right? And so if we're not careful, we can just get our minds so entangled in making money that we're no good for the Lord. Amen. Why? It's a temptation and a snare, and because of it, many will fall into foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's why verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of it is the root of all evil. People will sell themselves down the river for money. And they'll walk away from the Lord, and they'll walk away from serving the Lord and being a soldier for the Lord and go after money. And the Bible says it's a snare. It's a snare. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 6. 1 Timothy 3 in verse number 6. It says, not a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. All right, there's some things that are of the devil here, and there's snares. In verse 6, it talks about pride. And in verse 7, it talks about you have to have a good report of them. You have to have a good testimony. If you don't have a good testimony, you're full of pride. What are they? Snares. Yeah. Amen. They're snares that'll keep you from serving the Lord. There's nothing more aggravating than trying to keep your testimony right, trying to be a witness at the job place, and then have some fool who claims himself to be a Christian but has a potty mouth and says the same jokes and does everything that everybody else does to ruin the reputation of a Christian for those that you're trying to be a witness to. Man, that's frustrating. That's frustrating. It happens sometimes. Why? They're snares. They're snares. Understanding that we as soldiers, we represent something. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A soldier represents a greater cause than their own. Amen. A soldier in the military, when they put that uniform on and when they say that I represent this branch of the service, man, that should mean something. Amen. I mean, those of you that were in the military, you understand when you put that uniform on, sometimes you walk a little straighter. You carry yourself a little bit different. There's some kind of service or some kind of recognition, and they ask you to put something on, or maybe if it's even a hat, right? Because it uniform might not fit the way it used to. Even if it's just wearing a hat, sometimes you put that hat on, and what do? You walk a little straighter, and you carry yourself a little differently. Why? Because you know that, man, it meant something. Even if it was many years ago, it meant something to do that. And boy, as a Christian, we should carry ourselves in that same way, not be snared by the things of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. That's our text. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4. Entangle himself, what's it say, with the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Amen. What's a snare? This life can be a snare. I know we have responsibilities. I understand we have jobs and we have things that we do, and God has given us these things in our lives, and we carry those forward. And we want to do our best, and we want to live with some character, and we want to have some moderation in our lives, and want to have some discipline to do what God's given us to do. But man, this life, it can snare us up. We can just get so caught up in, I don't know, I can give you a ton of examples right now of things that I can get caught up in. Why? Interests and hobbies and this and that. All this stuff that just, man, it's a snare, and we just dive into the world and we get entangled to the point where God, we can't even hear God giving us the orders anymore. It's a snare. It's an entanglement. And we need to be careful. There's snares to be avoided. I'll tell you this as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." You know what a good soldier does? He endures. Amen. He endures. A good soldier endures. Look in chapter 2 where we are, but look in verse number 8. It says, "Remembering that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised up from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." Paul was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. "But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Amen. Paul says, hey, I understand. I know what the gospel is. I know what Jesus Christ did. And he says, I suffer trouble for it, to the point where I was put in prison for preaching the truth of Jesus Christ's death on the cross for sins. He says, and I might be bound, but the word of God's not bound. Yeah. And he says that I endure all things. Therefore, I endure all things. Why? Amen. So that someone can get the gospel. Amen. He says, I endure it. It's an endurance because souls matter. Amen. Family and their souls matter. Neighbors and their souls matter. Friends and their souls matter. So what happens? We can endure some things. We can endure some things. We can go through some things and we can say, okay, Lord, I can endure this for you. I mean, nobody gets through this life without enduring through something. But what is it? Some people endure a lot of things for snares and entanglements of this life. But what will you endure for Christ? Chapter 3 and verse number 11, Paul says this, same book, chapter 3, verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Amen. He says, the Lord delivered me from these things. Sometimes it wasn't right away. Sometimes he had to endure them for a while. But the Lord delivered me from these things. He said, but I endure it. What's it mean? To continue. Amen. Chapter 4, same book, chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." We're here. That's the day we live in. Amen. Don't let it be you. Endure the sound doctrine. Endure the preaching of God's word. Endure and stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Endure the afflictions and endure. Continue through things that may seem difficult. Why? For the Lord. Amen. For the Lord. It's a good fight. Amen. It's a good warfare. Amen. It's a good profession. Amen. It's a good profession. It's a worthy cause. Amen. The captain of my salvation has done so much for me and took care of me. It's a worthy cause. He endured some things for me. He endured the cross for me. The Bible says, despising the shame. despising the shame. He endured that for me. I can endure a few things in this life. We have it pretty easy here as Americans. We've talked about that before, church. We have it pretty easy here as Americans to take a stand for Christ. It doesn't cost us that much to stand for Christ. I'd like to say this lastly. As a soldier of the Lord, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Be strong. A good soldier endures some things. Say, what do you have to be? Strong. But here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and of the power of his might. There has to be some strength, bodily abilities. There has to be some strength on the inside, some of that grit that I was talking about, some of that stick-to-itiveness, some backbone, some character. There has to be some of that to accomplish a life in the military of the United States. There has to be something there. You know, you can't try to do one, well, I can't speak currently, but it used to be you can't just not get through one pull-up and then they say, on you go, you're good. You had to be able to do some physical things. You had to have some kind of strength. You had to have some fortitude not to quit when someone told you what to do and you didn't want to do it. There had to be some fortitude there. And to serve the Lord, you know what you need to do? You need to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Just a side note, it does profit, but it profits a little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Amen. What is that? Godliness, what is that? Well, we have to practice godliness. We have to exercise godliness like we have to exercise our body. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Where does that come from? That comes from the Lord. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where'd that come from? I thank God that he gave it to me. I can have kind of a sound mind because he gave it to me. I can have some kind of strength and power in my life that comes from God. We're not talking about like a deadlift, right? I lose on that front. We're talking about strength that comes from God, a power that comes from God, a love that comes from the Lord. To do what? Fight a good fight. To be a soldier. To war a warfare that's a spiritual battle. That is actively coming after you and your family and your walk with God. It's active. You don't have to go very far. You can suit up and just stand. And the enemy will show up. There'll be somebody to fight. The world and the flesh of the devil will be knocking on your heart's door. Ready to go. And what do? Lord, give me the strength. Give me the strength. Lord, I want to endure. I want to endure through some things. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. My course isn't over yet. How do I know? I'm breathing. I'm breathing. There's a fight still to be had. I'm breathing. And until the Lord takes my last breath, what do I want to do? I want to endure. I want to be strong. I want to be enlisted. Sometimes you have to get up and you have to re-up every day. You get out of bed, you say, Lord, I'm enlisting again today. I'm ready for the fight. I'm going to go to Ephesians and I'm going to put on the whole armor of God and I'm going to be ready for it. I'm going to be ready for it. It's a soldier. It's to be a soldier of the Lord. As we honor and recognize our American military members today, which we should, And again, thank you. Let us think about our own service to the Lord. Are you saved this morning? Amen. Are you born again? Is your faith trusting in Christ and Him only for salvation? If it's in anything else, man, that faith has fallen short. Your own works will let you down. Your religion will let you down. Your heritage will let you down. But the Lord won't. The Lord won't. Amen. If you're saved and born again, are you enlisted? Are you enlisted? Or are you just kind of seeing what kind of blessings God will give you? Seeing what kind of handouts the Lord will give you along the way? Are you enlisted to be a soldier? Amen. And if you're enlisted to be a soldier, are you doing any fighting? We're not talking about big public battles. We're talking about the courage to fight and to war against the world and the flesh and the devil for Him and His glory. I don't know what to fight. Ask the Lord to make it very clear to you, and He'll point them out. Amen. He'll point out the fights. Are you fighting? It's an active battle. There's snares to be avoided. You can endure some things. You can be strong through the power of the Lord. Amen. And His word and those around. Listen, I'm thankful for you if you're fighting this morning. I'm thankful for you if you're thinking about fighting this morning. Get in the fight. Join the ranks. Stand shoulder to shoulder. And let's go forward. Let's go forward for the cause of Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.